Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Amy Spreeman.
And I'm Michelle Leslie. Today, we're going to talk about the S word, but don't worry, you're never going to hear any profanity on this podcast. No swearing, no cursing. The S word we're talking about is submit. If the word submit scares you, you're not alone.
Yeah, that's right, Michelle. And hey, it scares me too, but that's my flesh talking. And you know, the only one word seems to be scarier to our rebellious hearts than submission, and that's the word obedience. But our flesh doesn't seem to like the sound of either of those words, or at least mine doesn't, but they are what our Lord commands of us as His dear sisters. So, and you know, Michelle, what a comfort knowing that submission is not following a list of rules. Jesus said His yoke is so much easier than that. So with this in mind, today we are talking about what it looks like to submit to the Lord, to governing authorities, to your husband if you're married, and to God's will.
That's right. This is such an important topic. And so we want to open up by looking at what the Bible says about submission. Well, first, just like we always need to, we need to define that word. Submission comes from a Latin root, which means to let down, to reduce, or yield. The New Testament Greek word is hupotasso, which means to put under or to arrange under. It's a military word that refers to lower ranking soldiers arranging themselves under the orders of higher officers. Submission then comes from an acknowledgement of proper order and authority. So submission is a concept that is so distasteful to many people. And, you know, a lot of times it's even mocked as a sign of weakness, but it might surprise you to know that submission is really one of the strongest pillars of a stable society. Just think of the lawlessness that would happen if no one submitted.
Well, and we're kind of seeing that now in our society, Michelle. And
we are.
It just seems to me that women are just so, as a whole, as a group of us, I guess, 51% of the population, I believe, I think we're growing unhappier. And I have a feeling it's because that we're not looking at life through the lens of submission, of what a godly woman looks like. So, I know, again, it just sounds to the untrained ear that this is scary stuff. And it can be because our flesh pushes against this. And first, you know, we are responsible to submit to God. And most of us have, you know, that part's okay. Okay, I can submit to God. It gets trickier later on. But this is really the only way that we can really truly obey Him. And then Ephesians 5:21 says we are to submit to one another as well. And Romans 13 says that we are to submit to our governing authorities. That verse says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. So that's pretty serious. And you know, those leaders are put there by God's sovereign appointment. So, you know, and we want to point out that if those leaders require that we disobey God, then of course we have to submit to God first. Thoughts on this, Michelle?
That's absolutely right. We see the structure of authority and submission to authority all over the Bible. And this idea of submitting to the governing authorities or the authorities that are directly over us in our lives. We see this especially in Acts 5. The apostles have gone out and they've been preaching and they've been brought back in to the authorities, and the authorities tell them, you don't go out and preach anymore in the name of Christ. And mm-hmm. What do they tell them? They say in Acts 5:29, they say, we must obey God rather than men. Right. So we really do have to keep that hierarchy in order, that our allegiance belongs first and foremost to God, not to people who might tell us to do something that's ungodly. So God is at the top of that authority structure, and then come other authorities in our lives. And we must always obey God first, rather than obeying the human authorities in our lives if they tell us to do something that conflicts mm-hmm. with God's word.
Exactly.
And we also know that authority, all authority, comes from God, the creator of heaven and earth, and we're commanded to submit to him. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And there are so many Bible verses about submission. I was just saying a minute ago, you know, this is the theme throughout the Bible, uh-huh. that we're to submit to authority. Because it's really, when we submit to the human authorities in our lives, it's painting a picture for the rest of the world that we're to submit to God, that every knee will eventually bow to God, whether it's, you know, here on earth or in the hereafter, that everyone is responsible to submit to God. So there are lots of verses in the Bible that talk about that. We can't possibly cover them all, but we will, as always, we'll put those verses in the show notes for this podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be a packed page indeed. But right off the bat, we want to share what submission does not look like, especially when it comes to submission in a marriage. And first of all, submission is not a gateway to domestic violence. In spite of what you might have heard out in the world, yes, we do live in a sin-cursed world. And yes, sometimes husbands do abuse their role as leaders and commit violence against their wives. And that's horrible. That's certainly not the type of leadership that Paul calls husbands to in Ephesians chapter 5, where he writes in verse 25, he writes, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So domestic violence is not the outcome of the biblically described leader, husband, and submissive wife, but rather a sinful distortion of the leader role within a marriage relationship. Michelle, anything to add on that?
Right. I would just say, you know, just kind of flipping this to the other side of the coin, I would just say, if you are in a marriage where your husband is not acting like a godly husband and he is being abusive, we just want to take every opportunity to say that it is okay with God. And it is biblical if you get to somewhere safe. And if you call the authorities, the authorities that God has placed in our lives, you know, the governmental authorities we were just talking about a minute ago, the police, call them and make sure that you're safe. Call your pastor and talk to your pastor, and maybe the people at your church can help you as well. But we would never say that in order to be submissive, that you have to allow someone to abuse you. It is okay with God if you get to somewhere safe. He does not require that you be a punching bag. So get somewhere safe.
Amen. All right. Well, and the second point we want to make about what submission doesn't look like, submission does not mean that all women are supposed to submit to all men. And I think that has gotten twisted too, Michelle. There are certain teachings that you might have heard of where that happens. Bible doesn't say that anywhere. In fact, what the Bible does say, wives are to submit to our own husbands. It says that right in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, wives, be submissive to your own husband so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And I notice in this passage that we don't withhold submission until the husband is 100% obedient to the Lord. So you can't just say, Lord, I will when he does, right? Michelle, any thoughts on that?
That's so true. I mean, you know, we're just as a general principle, Christians are supposed to do what is right regardless of what's going on around us or how other people treat us. Jesus talked about loving your enemies and turning the other cheek and things like that. So just as a general principle, God calls us to do what's right even if other people are doing something wrong. And again, just to reiterate, this does not mean that you need to submit to abuse, but just as a more general principle, you know, your husband probably leaves his socks on the floor, or your husband probably does things that annoy you, you know, that doesn't give you an excuse not to submit. And in regard to submission within the family unit, 1 Corinthians 11:2-3 says that the husband is to submit to Christ as Christ did to God the Father, and the wife is to submit to her husband. It says, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God.
Yeah, that's so clear. And it also says the same thing in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 right. and 19. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And so you're right, Michelle. Throughout the Bible, the whole thread is submission, and especially submission to God. And I know that if you're not submissive to governing authorities or to your husband, you're really not truly being submissive to God at all. And I think it takes a strong and confident woman to be a submissive wife in the first place. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have opinions or that we let husbands control every single aspect of, you know, and that's not what it is. Being a submissive wife to your husband means that you focus on being his helper, his lover, his supporter, and just submitting to the will of our husband is a sign of a complete trust and love in not only him, but in God Almighty, and just can significantly bring that peace in your marriage. That's just a wonderful blessing. So why is this such a struggle in today's marriages? Well, I mean, I think first of all, it's our flesh, don't you, Michelle? It just gets in the way.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I know I've told this story before when my husband and I were getting ready to get married and we were picking out the vows that we were going to say. We poured over probably dozens and dozens of different types of vows because I didn't want to say obey. And so we finally settled on one that I think it said something like, I will submit myself to you as you submit yourself to Christ or something like that. So I could, I could say that, but in the wedding video, there's a noticeable pause before I repeat that part of the vows. And I'm so embarrassed about that, but it really is, you know, it's our flesh. We don't want to submit to the things that God has told us to submit to. We don't, you know, without Christ, we don't even want to submit to God. Right. And so, it just is, it's really, really difficult. And especially with culture giving us all the opposite signals, you know, that you're supposed to be strong and independent woman and stand up for yourself and do this, that, and the other. But it really is, it is a lot tougher to trust God and to do what he says to do than to just live by the way the world. I mean, it's easy just to live the way the world tells you to live. You know, that doesn't take any strength at all. But when your flesh is fighting you every step of the way and you crucify that flesh and you do what God says to do instead, that's a lot harder. So I think it takes a lot more strength to be a godly woman and to be a submissive wife and to be doing all the things God tells you to do than it takes to be a feminist or, you know, just living the way that the world lives.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I ever told you this story before, Michelle, but I grew up in a home where, you know, we were steeped in feminism. Every woman in our family and extended family was very feminist. And in my family, my mom wore the pants in the family and my dad went along and there were quite a few explosive fights over these things. But that's the world I grew up in. You know, the favorite television show, I think, was Maude, that kind of thing. So imagine somebody like me, you know, getting married and then all of a sudden, Christ saves us, and just the flesh fight that was going on was incredible. Right. But
you know what? When we submit to our husbands and we are obedient to God in front of other people like that, it has become so countercultural to do that people take notice. And they watch us and they watch our marriages and they see how healthy they can be and things like that. And that is a sweet aroma to people who need Christ, and that is attractive to them. And hopefully it will get people to ask, you know, why do you do that? Why do you live like that? How does that work for you? Why is that working? You know, instead of, you know, just doing whatever you want to do. And then we have the opportunity and an open door to share the gospel with them and say, look, my flesh doesn't want to do this either. But because I belong to Christ, he enables me to do it and share the gospel with them after that. So you know, it can really be an amazing thing.
That's a, it is a beautiful thing to be able to use your marriage as a just an example for those who think that it's strange. I just had the same conversation the other day with one of my nieces who asked me, so who's going to win in this? And I said, oh, you know, I'll let him lead. No problem. And she looked at me like I had two heads, but it really gave us a good opportunity to talk a little bit about what a marriage looks like. And as somebody, for her, she hasn't been married, so she's not seen that before.
Right.
But, you know, we think that, you know, or we've been taught that wifely submission tells the world that women are inferior to men. And again, that's how I grew up. And it's, you know, or some people even in churches tell you that it's the result of the sin and the fall that women have, you know, have this inferiority complex. And that's just wrong. What the Bible does teach is that husbands and wives are equal as image bearers of God with distinct right. roles in marriage as leaders, in husbands and helpers as wives. So we even can go back to the book of Genesis. We know that men and women are equal in God's eyes because everyone, regardless of gender, is made in God's image. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Eve was made from a rib from Adam's side, it says in Genesis chapter 2, which also tells us that she's equal with Adam. So equal but different roles. And so that's something that Michelle gives me great comfort. I don't know about you, but I'm sure it does.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you think about the creation order, and the way God brought everything into being, you know, on day one, day two, day three, he creates something. And then what does he say? It is good. He creates something the next day. It is good. And he finally gets to man. He creates Adam. And then what does he say? It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. And so when it's so neat to see that God didn't just want one kind of human being in his world. He didn't just want men. He didn't just want one kind of being that would act like a man and think like a man and talk like a man. He wanted women in the world. He proactively decided that womanhood was a good thing and that it was missing from creation and that creation was not complete without women and femininity and all of the things that that entails, including submission to authority, because Adam having Eve with him, that was going to be a picture of submission to authority right from the beginning. And so it's really, really neat when you go back and look at the creation story and how much God values women. And we should never, I mean, I've never felt like I was inferior to a man, and there's no reason for any woman to feel that way. And there's no reason for people who take opposing viewpoints to say that people like us are teaching that or anything like that, because God wanted womanhood in the world, and this world was not complete without it. So that's something that's important to remember as well.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. And, you know, a lot of us might be wondering, well, what does then submission look like? You know, give it to me in practical terms. Michelle, I think submission is really an attitude that simply tells us that you love it when he leads. And it's not, and by leading, I don't mean he's making these big decisions without talking to you and caring about what you think, because that really would contradict your role as a fellow heir of the grace of life. But it really means that, you know, in a draw, you would say, you know, honey, I trust you to do what's best. Or, you know, it's ultimately submission to Jesus. So that you're not going to follow your husband into any kind of sin, but you just, you know, you let him lead and you respect him, and you respect his desire to lead your family. And sometimes, this is what I've done. I've sometimes asked if it's okay with him if I go ahead and do something, which normally I would do without a second thought because we're in this together. But I think he just feels really respected when I say, hey, you know, is it okay with you if I, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. But that's one thing that I can think of. Another one, I like to encourage my husband to lead in prayer whenever there's a chance. And I just love doing that and just praying for him when he's struggling. Anytime a man struggles to lead, just pray for him and just, you know, there are many practical ways. Can you think of a few that maybe work for you, Michelle?
I think a lot of it is just, and I'm by no means perfect at this, so please don't hear me saying
that.
Me
either.
But a lot of it is just growing in the heart attitude that I don't have to have my way all the time.
Yeah.
And that so many of the things that we maybe in our younger years and our more immature years that we would fight tooth and nail about to get our own way on, they just really don't matter. So, you know, a lot of times my husband will ask, you know, do you want to do this or that? And I'll say, I just really don't care. You decide. And I'm being honest, I really don't care because it's not that important to me. One thing or the other is just as fine as the other thing. So I think that helps a lot, especially with the little petty stuff like, you know, where do you want to go eat? Or, you know, would you rather do this activity or that activity? Yeah. I think a lot of that also is learning to be content. Christ wants us to be content in Him. And we don't have to get our own way all the time to be content. And so so those are some attitudes of the heart that I think come with maturity in Christ. And I think also come from years and years and years of being married. I mean, I envision some younger ladies listening to us that have maybe only been married a year or two and thinking, well, you know, that's not where I am yet. Well, of course it's not, you know, you haven't been, I'm coming up on 27 years of marriage in a couple of weeks. And Amy's, you know, been married a long time too. And so you just,
31.
It's a oneness type of thing that you continue to grow in oneness together. And so I think that helps. I think that helps a lot with submission. It's just that as you get older, you get more mature and you grow in that oneness together. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you know, one of the things that I had thought about is submission. Really, if you think about submitting to God, Jesus himself asked that we die to self. And submission is just like that. When you submit to your husband, it is dying to your own needs and wishes and wants and really putting your unified marriage first and, you know, putting another person first is truly dying to self. And I think that just really helps put it in the right frame of your attitude. And if our purpose on this earth is to do the will of God, then submitting to someone else, like your husband or anybody else that we've talked about, governing authorities, that becomes in itself an act of trust in God. It's really letting go and say, okay, God, I'm trusting you with this and I'm submitting. So just some thoughts there to ponder, ladies, because when we accept the authority of God's word and we fulfill our roles, our marriages can really thrive. And that's what we pray for our listeners today.
Absolutely. And also, you know, don't hear us saying that everything's going to be perfect. You know, there's until you die or until your husband dies, there's going to be, you know, bumps in the road along the way. I don't have a perfect marriage. Amy doesn't have a perfect marriage, but we're growing. I think that's the whole thing is that we're growing together with our husbands. You grow in a deeper and deeper love. You grow in more patience and kindness and understanding of one another. So, so just be aware of that. Nobody's got the perfect marriage, so don't despair. You know, this too, whatever you're going through, this too shall pass. Yeah, it really is. And I think this is a good place to stop and that's going to wrap it up for this episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. So be sure to go back and study those scriptures and take a look at the other resources that we'll be putting in the show notes at awordfitlyspoken.life or on your regular podcast platform. And also, we want to let you know about a new tab we've got on the website. We've got a new tab where you can donate to A Word Fitly Spoken if you would like to. We've got a Patreon tab, and we've got a Patreon option on there and a PayPal option. And we would like to ask you if you have been blessed by A Word Fitly Spoken and you'd like to help us to cover the expenses that we have, because podcasting isn't free. And we've already had to absorb a few expenses that we need to recoup. So if you would like to help us do that, go ahead and visit awordfitlyspoken.life. And I believe the new tab is called Donate. Is that the title of the new tab?
I think it's just, it might be Support.
Support.
Yeah.
Anyway, it looks like something where you would give something. So if you would like to do that, please come on over. We would welcome your gifts to help us offset costs. And we will use that money wisely, we promise you. And we would be most grateful for any help you'd like to give us.
Yeah, we would really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Again, you can find everything at awordfitlyspoken.life. You can find all of our social media there and a dozen or so different ways to listen to us on a different podcast platform, whichever one fits into your iPhone or your iPad or your Android, whatever it is. But we would love to make sure that you're subscribing so that you don't miss anything. And until next time, walk worthy.